and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injuries. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Michael Cleaver on Twitter. I feel the need. The need for B52, hashtag iceberg. Stop it. It's Iceman, not iceberg. Val Kilmer's lost weight. Go Google search. He's in battle and throat cancer. It's probably the steroids that made him look puffy. Okay, he was about 350, but he's gotten down to that. It's amazing what happens when you get into a new movie. They'll get you a chef. They'll get you trimmed down. You got a personal trainer.
Okay, good. He's down to 349.
Stop it. Hashtag iceberg. That's terrible.
It's not.
It is. Iceman's coming. But what did he do to you? Why? Because this all started with him playing Batman. Because you said he was the worst Batman, and you haven't let it go since then. What did he do to you? Well, why was it so? I don't even remember that movie, actually. So it probably was a bad Batman. I can't think of who was the, I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't even know what the movie was about, the one, because he did one, right? He only did one?
Right.
As Batman?
Right.
That's a shame.
I think
I can't honestly, I can't remember. Welcome us to Friday, officially.
Yeah.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying.
Val.
Val. Hey, is. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joins us to talk a little NBA Finals. And before even talk hoops, it's the question apparently now today that we're going to be asking. Your worst and favorite Batman of the Batman movies?
You know, I'm a big fan of Christian Bale. It's tough to go wrong with those. But I think I was hearing you guys talk about Val Kilmer. I can't remember that one, which must be pretty bad.
He played right after the Weather Channel.
I honestly can't remember what even that movie was about.
Batman.
I know it was Batman, but I honestly can't remember. It's terrible.
He fought a villain at night.
Anyway, Jake, how you doing this afternoon, man?
I'm doing well. Happy to be on talking some hoops with you, Gus.
All right, let's do it. Here's Steph Curry after game one.
We're down 0-1, but it's not the end of the world. New experiences for us all the way through, but you know, we've proven our resiliency and ability to win games that we need to and kind of answer the bell and learn from, you know, nights like tonight. So key call-outs or, you know, fast break points that they got, whether it was a make or a miss for us, you know, a couple of sloppy turnovers that really didn't kill us but just added to, you know, their momentum. You know, obviously Pascal had an amazing game, pretty much found a bucket wherever he was at, and we got to do, all five guys got to do a better job of just being physical, being alert, and we'll be all right.
I think he broke it down. That's why I played it as good as you can, Jake. When you look at it, he had 34 points, his sixth straight game in the postseason of 30 or more. Look, you're going to sit there and say if Siakam knocks down 32 points, Gasol's knocking down threes, he'll take that all day. Because Toronto, to me, had to play darn near perfect game, and they did.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of how we thought it could go. You know, they were the home team. Your role players tend to play better at home than on the road. And Siakam, for how good he is for being that age and that young, doesn't normally come up with 32 points. This was kind of a home game for him. If he does this on the road, I think that's a little bit more eye-opening. Same for Marc Gasol, who's looked bad at times throughout the playoffs, too. He tends to play better at home. And that kind of leads him to a win. And you heard Steph Curry say they kind of just weren't playing as the Warriors normally do. They had 17 turnovers in that game. That's higher than average for them compared to just 10 for the Toronto Raptors. Curry and Klay Thompson didn't shoot particularly well, though they did manage to put points up. But I think the biggest thing might have been just the defensive intensity wasn't there from Golden State. You saw a lot of miscues early on in this game, leaving open shooters on the three-point line. I think that had something to do with it. You know, the Toronto Raptors almost shot 40% from deep, and you at least need to clamp down there, make them beat you inside. And if they have a slightly worse game from Pascal Siakam, I think Golden State's in this one. But we'll see. You know, there's game two. This is where the adjustments come from. And if Golden State just tightens things up a little bit, they can easily get a win and then steal home court heading back to Oakland.
You heard Draymond Green touch on the layoff and the time that it took in between games and the conditioning and aspect of it. And you kind of saw that. When I just close my eyes and think of, you know, the three-pointers hit by Gasol, Siakam, it's, they're wide open. I mean, there's no one there. And that's a clear sign of me, to me, just the conditioning aspect of it. You know, to close out requires a little energy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important. And, you know, they're also doing this still a man down in Kevin Durant. And for all the talk that they don't need Kevin Durant, you can certainly see they could use a guy like that with the length and everything he gives you on defense. And it just kind of puts everyone else into playing a little bit more than they would otherwise, which is why you see teams often falter down the stretch, particularly when that layoff happens. You know, they've been off for a number of days. It's tough to kind of get back into playing 40 minutes. That game speed and the energy you exert during that, including the mental aspect, is so different than practice and simulated games that it's tough to replicate. Now that you kind of get this one game out of the way, you get your legs under you a little bit more, and that's where you'll start to see maybe Golden State close out games a little bit better.
There's the basketball side of this, Jake, which, you know, obviously we can look at back and forth and see what kind of you know, adjustments are made by the coaches and teams. I was just happy we saw a good game. I thought it was good basketball, man. Shots selection, shots, threes here, threes there. You saw good, solid hoops. That was something I really enjoyed last night, to where you felt like you had to watch all four quarters. And the other thing, too, was the atmosphere. I led off the show with it. I saw a stat, 300,000 was the estimate of people watching a game outside of the arena in and around the country. 33 movie theaters were showing the game. Basically, your Kenners, your, you know, Mandevilles, Metairies, every place had a Jurassic West, a Jurassic North, different variations of a Jurassic Park. It's incredible when you think of how much the hoops up there, man, is just loved by Toronto and its area.
Yeah, that's what makes this series so fun. One is the good basketball that you're seeing on the court, but also all of the storylines just kind of around it, you know, with Kawhi Leonard. Will he stay? Will he not stay? Can he lead them to a title? The first finals in 24 years for Toronto, that city and, you know, the entire country really rallying behind the team. And it's been really fun to watch. It's not going to reflect in the ratings because you're going to probably start to see some of those numbers come out that it's going to be one of the lowest rated NBA finals in history. And that's because Toronto doesn't factor into those Nielsen ratings. So it's a bit misleading, but you can see, and like you just said, with some of those numbers there, Toronto and the Raptors are a big draw, whether it's just for Canada or the rest of the U.S. This is just a fun NBA finals. And after, you know, so many times you saw the Cavs Warriors matched up, just to get something different has been a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's going to be fun if it continues to sort of do that. And look, for all those people, Jake, that are like, it's the Warriors again. The Warriors are going to win. Hey, here you go. Here you go. I mean, you got a team that is legit playing hoops. You got a fan base that like it. And, I just want good basketball. I still say Warriors in six. What do you think overall happens?
Yeah, I still say Warriors in six. You know, there's the cliche that it's not a series till someone wins on the road. And, you know, it's game one. We're following that script perfectly so far. It's the Warriors until further notice. You know, mm-hmm. Just like it's been LeBron James until further notice. This is still the Warriors. You know, they still have four of the best five players in this series on their team. You know, they're the reigning champs for a reason, gunning for their third straight title. They're very good. Once you get Kevin Durant back, maybe for game three when the series shifts back to Oakland, that's when this can kind of take off for Golden State. You still won't expect them to win. It's going to take six or seven games now as opposed to five or six, but still, right. It's going to end up with the Warriors winning probably.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. We're talking NBA Finals, and now we'll talk Pels, since obviously it's Locked On Pels. It happened! The meeting finally, well, it was a breakfast. Brian Ola East yesterday said, you know what, you could tell by the time of day how serious the meeting was going to be. Is that where we are? We're debating at what time of the day. He thought breakfast, you don't do serious negotiations over breakfast. Dinner is where you really do it. Did breakfast give you any indication of how this meeting was going to go?
No, I don't know if the time of day, matters. They met in the morning. You can get some serious right. negotiations done then. And maybe Anthony Davis is just a morning person. It could be that, too. I wouldn't read too much into that. I'm curious to see whether it was, like, in a hotel room and catered or how it was all done. I don't think that they were over at any sort of, quick breakfast place in the morning. So you can get a lot done during that time. But it went the exact way that we thought it was going to go. They met on Wednesday. And then, there's a lot of mutual respect on both sides of the table there with Rich Paul and Nick Griffin having a good working relationship. But at the end of the day, this went exactly like we thought. It was going to be Anthony Davis still wanting out. He just seems kind of over everything. And I guess from, a number of perspectives here, yes, the Pelicans maybe are better set up in the long term to win, but they're not necessarily set up to win next season, even with Anthony Davis coming back.
Right.
He might want to go to a new situation where you can make a deeper playoff run over the next 2 years than he would be able to in New Orleans. And he just doesn't want to waste any more of his career, which is what's happened for 7 years so far. The guy has 5 total playoff wins. If I was a top 5 player in the league, I might just want out too. So I get it. I think it means that they're going to be looking at all trade offers right now, try and get something done before the draft so that you can at least make the picks that you want, because there's likely to be draft compensation involved in all of this, which means we probably get a resolution sooner rather than later. But there's a lot of dominoes to fall, lots of dominoes that aren't connected to each other necessarily too, or the timing causes some issues, which means it could spill over into the start of free agency.
It's interesting you say that, because the two final things I want to touch on are maybe perhaps some domino things. So, Jake, in the next 3 minutes, let's hit on this. First was the news this week that Houston basically made everything available. A bit of a surprise?
Yeah, they're going through a lot of changes, and I think this is what happens when you try and build your franchise around beating the Golden State Warriors, and then they don't have Kevin Durant, and you still can't beat him. So a bit of an issue with that, and you've just got to do something else. Also, ownership seems a little bit cheaper there than in years past.
And then the other is the reports today. Ian Begley was reporting out of New York that it looks like maybe the Knicks and Hawks are in talks. Atlanta has, 8-10 in the first round, moving up to number 3 with New York. Obviously, to do that, they're out of the AD runnings. Do you think this is New York posturing to maybe, I wouldn't say force Griffin's hand, but kind of see how serious he is about New York?
Yeah, a little bit. It also could just be kind of hedging in case they don't get Anthony Davis. If they want to make a big run at 2 max free agents, they probably need to clear a little bit more cap space. The 8-10 picks are going to end up being cheaper than the 3rd overall pick. So it's a way to kind of, get some more capital back, but also reduce your salary cap so that you can make a run at other guys in free agency if you strike out on Anthony Davis.
Gotcha. So that makes sense from that aspect of it. But you think it's probably more of a secondary thing? Because I got to imagine they still are interested in Anthony Davis.
Oh, 100%. It's definitely a secondary thing. I would assume the Knicks would be very intrigued about bringing Anthony Davis in. I would assume almost everything is going to be on the table. That 3rd pick, Kevin Knox, Dennis Smith Jr., the future Mavs pick, and a guy like Mitchell Robinson, too, who's local, who they are very, very high on. He'll get thrown into a deal as well. New Orleans could take whatever they wanted from New York.
Jake, leave us with, again, you did like a live podcast as well, and you did like a live video cast this week, huh?
Yeah, had some fun testing out some things where we're kind of live streaming, answering questions from listeners, having a lot of fun. Great time to kind of be following the Pelicans right now.
Dude, I need an answer from you because I respect you here. All right, so June 20th is draft day. Today is the last day of May, May 31st. Is there 20 days or 21 days until the draft?
Good question.
See, Jordan says 20. I'm going 21. I think it's 21. I mean, do you count today? Do you start tomorrow with day one?
Let's start fresh tomorrow. I like that idea. So 20 days, I think, is that what it makes it then?
20 days.
It's a Friday. We don't want to do work.
Exactly. Right. That's what I'm saying. I think it's 20 days, but it starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, yeah, June 100%. 1st is one day. Thank you. Thank you, Jake. Thank you.
Give me 20 days.
I'm with you guys.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate your time as always, man. I'm sure we'll be talking before then. As always, Locked On Pels, the website, and, of course, the podcast, a must. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, Gus.
For sure. All right. So we're going with 20 days.
20 days.
You're on the 20-day bandwagon now.
I've been on the 20.
No, you said 21.
I said 20, and I said I like even numbers. Right. I said I don't know why you wouldn't be on the even number train.
I was asking, is it 21 if you count today because it's not 6 o'clock
yet? I said 20. So I think it's 21.
Well, because the draft starts at 6. By the way, I had this discussion over the weekend to my wife about the 5:09 start time and 5:07, how it bothered me and all that.
Right.
And they all think I'm crazy. My mom and dad were in the car. My wife was in the car. They're like, why does it bother you? I'm like, I need order. I need things that make sense. A 5:07 tip doesn't make any sense.
Sorry,
make
but
it
life,
5:08.
Life
make
isn't
it
like that.
Well, why 7?
Because life.
Like, why 3? Why 7:03? 7:05 makes like sense for me.
And this is better than watching C-SPAN. Go ahead,
guys. I'm just saying, well, I to me, that's what makes sense.
Oh, okay? Gus.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
I found the scene from Val Kilmer.
Oh, poor
for Batman.
What did he do to you?
Well, just listen.
Hey, Bruce, you know how Batman is always so tough on crime?
He sure is, son, and I'll tell you a little secret. I actually know Batman.
Okay, well, can you tell him to cool it down in our neighborhoods?
Cool it down? What do you mean?
Somebody's got to do something about him. I mean, he broke my best friend's jaw in 2 places, and all he did was steal a TV. That's excessive.
Malik. It's okay, man. Listen, Malik, stealing is a crime, and Batman doesn't take crime lightly.
Obviously, because then he ziplined him to the top of a building and then left him hanging for like 30 minutes, 30 stories up by a gargoyle, by his underwear.
That's the Val Kilmer scene.
Oh, that sounds like SNL. Am I right with that?
You
SNL?
Are correct, yeah, sir. Ding, hosted. Ding, ding.
Poor Val. I like that, though. That's true.
That was Val.
Not everybody
Kilmer.
Probably thinks Batman's a good guy. He is a vigilante. I am vengeance. I am Batman. When we come back, Sean Fazan, Fox 8 Sports, will talk what he observed. You know what? Brian made fun of me yesterday. You made fun of me about my man crush.
I never made fun of you.
Yeah, you know what? Go to Sean Fazan's Twitter page and his observations. Guess what he might be talking about next? On ESPN New Orleans.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Keep up with your favorite shows on the go with TV Everywhere. Vision's TV packages now include TV Everywhere, so you can watch your favorites on any internet-connected laptop or mobile device anytime, anywhere. Keep up with series, movies, and more from many networks in your TV package, including live sports on channels like ESPN. Just log in, make your selection, and enjoy. TV Everywhere. It's included with Vision's TV service. Sign up now at viscom.net.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
At Sean Fazan, Fox 8. The way to follow our next guest over on Twitter. Of course, you can catch him on Fox 8 Sports. Covers your New Orleans Saints and everything else. Sean, how are you this afternoon?
Great. How are you?
Doing fine, man. We're asking everybody just because Raphael, our Vegas guy, told us they've picked a new Batman. It's the Twilight dude. So I'm asking, who was your favorite Batman in the Batman movies? Who was your least favorite? I'm going with Christian Bale. My least favorite was Val Kilmer. I can't even remember that movie, to be honest with you. Who's your favorite Batman? Who's your worst Batman?
Yeah, I might go with those two, but the first one I remember was Michael Keaton as the original Batman that I remember him with. But yeah, I guess of the next two, I'd have to say I like Christian Bale, and yeah, the Val Kilmer was kind of forgettable. It just wasn't that it was good or bad. I just don't remember a whole lot from it.
So, I don't either.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't even know who the bad guy was in that movie.
Was that the one with the Riddler with Tim Curry? No.
No, that was with Clooney.
That was with Clooney. Yeah, you're right.
I can't remember who the bad guy was.
Rupert Murdoch.
That's not a good sign. Sean, let's get into the Saints. It was OTA number 6. We got to see our second viewing of the team. Sean Payton yesterday touched on the spirit of the practice here as well. 9 weeks instead of 14 weeks, man. I keep saying to me, especially with this team, this roster, health and getting your work done early, I think, is the key. And you saw competitiveness yesterday.
Definitely felt like the competitive spirit was cranked up a little bit. I thought the first week was kind of matter of fact, kind of business-like, kind of get in, get out. I thought this one cranked up a little bit. I thought Michael Thomas was kind of the catalyst for that with the contested catches. And then you thought, really throughout that team period, it was pretty competitive, pretty lively. You know, Michael Thomas making that catch, throwing in Eli Apple's face. And Eli Apple had a nice TBU earlier in that drill, so it was a good back and forth, good ebb and flow. I thought the competitive nature is good. You know, the quicker a team gets to that point, to me, the better. Because at that point, you're starting to come together now. Because you move past it, we got to figure out what we're doing, and we're on to, let's just execute. So I feel like that's, the quicker you get to that point, the better you are as a whole. So I certainly think it was a welcome sign to the Saints yesterday.
Sean, you and everybody else that's covering the team, it's that fine balance in line of you don't want to overblow something or undersell something. I mean, we just observe what we can, and we just going by what we see. Yeah. Just like the coaches to an extent, they do a little deeper with film searching and things of that nature. But to me, am I wrong in thinking that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just stands out? Because I think this guy is a steal in the fourth round already from what I'm seeing from his special teams work yesterday in that drill to the guy cuts off routes. It's little things like that it just seems like this guy just gets it.
Completely agree. You're not wrong. Thought when they got him, it was a huge steal. It was great work getting that fourth rounder back in the Eric McCoy deal. Was able to move up and get the deal for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who many had as an early second-round pick. So, do the math. It's an early second-round pick in the fourth round is incredible value on its face. And then to see what he's done, very early, I thought he stood out in rookie minicamp. And then you're like, okay, it's rookie, okay. And then he obviously stood out yesterday's practice. And look, his man-to-man cover skills are really, when you hear the word safety, you kind of have a vision of what the player's going to be. But then you see his man-to-man cover skills, and you think, there's no way this guy is he's a nickel that can play some safety, but his man-to-man cover skills are way too good, and he is way too savvy of an understanding of wide receiver routes to be just a safety. So to me, he is a nickel that can also play safety. And you saw what he did when he blitzed off the edge from that nickel spot. looked great during special teams. Just a football player. And he got some confidence. Talked to him a couple of weeks back at the rookie minicamp. Thought he had a day yesterday, a great day. And look, right now, you know, Eric McCoy could still obviously win the job for the starting center spot. But I would say Gardner Johnson right now has the clearest path to early playing time for any Saints rookie.
100% agree with you. We can talk a little bit about what we're seeing, obviously, with McCoy. And that's one of those things. Got to learn the playbook. Got to get in there. You're seeing Cameron Tom. Nick Easton still there as well. Coach touched on Warford. Just kind of getting back to health. But what I think what we can say about that, Sean, is probably what we felt on draft night in terms of if there's injuries to, say, McCoy wins the starting job or anywhere else, you see that there's a little bit better depth because right now the guys running with the ones is Easton at guard and Brown at Cameron Tom at center. So at the very least, you're seeing that the depth is not as thin, I think, as it was last year.
Yeah, if McCoy develops into the player we think he's going to be, I do think the offensive line, that's one area of the team that, because of the depth, is going to have a cumulative kind of positive impact when it comes to wins and losses. I felt like when the injuries sort of compiled towards the end last year, that had made an impact on the drop-off of the Saints offense. So you have Nick Easton, you have Cameron Tom, a guy they clearly like enough to pencil him in with the first team right now in terms of, I know yesterday he was at guard, the first week he was at center. Some of that has to do with Larry Warford being out, sure, but still, he's a guy that got some knowledge of the system. And then you have, you know, Eric McCoy, who is right now the second team, but they get the first team work during team yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think overall, and you had a guy like Will Clapp, who was a seventh rounder last year, is with the second team at left guard. Point being, those guys got experience last year. You add a guy like McCoy, you add a guy like Easton, even with the loss of Max Unger, I feel like while you may not have the same exact player as Max Unger, I do think you have enough bodies there to withstand the blow of losing, you know, such a leader in the middle of your offensive line.
Sean, final topic. Speak with Sean Fazan, Fox 8 here. That, you know, fans love skill position players, and you already mentioned the fun back and forth to Thomas and Eli Apple. We talked about Chauncey Gardner Johnson, but you know what? I look at the receiving battle here as well. I think it is a storyline, an early one, that Cameron Meredith is still not out there, and I think it opens up the door for some of the other guys, including, and I didn't even think about this, but we saw it yesterday, Taysom Hill being used a little at receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it sounds to me like they're going to expand what Taysom Hill can do within this offense, because I kind of felt like towards the end of the year, the zone read with him at quarterback kind of got figured out a little bit towards the end of the year last year. I thought it caught people off guard early, but that, it certainly looks like, you know, from a route running standpoint, they're going to get him a little bit more downfield because the guy can start to run. And you're right, the Cam Meredith storyline to me is one of the biggest of the offseason, because the guy is still not healthy. That's a problem. Last week he was at least on the field doing work with the trainers. This week he wasn't even there. Who knows the reason, but still, to me, a guy like that's got to get healthy. I mean, his roster spot's clearly not guaranteed. He took a pay cut this offseason. So that's probably one of the biggest disappointments that I've seen of the offseason. And look, they can dress it up and say, hey, it's just May, we're taking it slow. But you would have thought by this point he would at least be healthy enough to get some limited work with the team at OTA.
You know, there's the other thing, too. We saw Trevin Doral last week. You know, Cyril Grayson, when he hits the route yesterday, you see him in one-on-ones, he can smoke by people and break some ankles on some DBs. And, you know, I don't know, my early candidate for the old injury to put you in the red shirt and hold you for next year candidate, Emmanuel Butler, like his size. Number 17 at 6'4", you know, 200 plus there. So again, if you're Cameron Meredith, Taysom Hill's catching passes, the last thing you need to not be is not on the field.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think the spot's guaranteed. And look, you're making it easy if you're not available. You know, you mentioned Cyril Grayson. I don't know if you saw it, Gus, but I've never seen a guy beat a punt the way he beat a punt from the gunner position yesterday. I mean, he was at the 5-yard line waiting for that punt when he was doing the gunner drill. Mm-hmm. Now, there wasn't anybody blocking him, but still, that was impressive. You can see him really run. Look, he doesn't catch the ball clean yet. He doesn't necessarily run the sharpest of routes, but still got some football savviness that he has to learn. But that is an elite trait that he has, and I know Sean Payton, that has caught his eye. So don't be surprised if he's the guy we discuss a lot in the offseason and in the training camp.
That's a very good point. And again, for people that don't think that it's a key area, Coach Payton switched special teams coaches, and some of the guys they drafted, Sean, specifically, Coach touched on, hey, these are guys that can help us in special teams. So he's definitely looking to improve that part of the team.
Yeah, and look, that part of the team was really good last year. I mean, they won a lot of games last year with their help of special teams. So it was the end of the year with defense and special teams, and the offense fell off. I know he wants to upgrade the return game, but point being, the emphasis on special teams has really come into focus over the last couple of years, and you saw last year just how important it was. So if you can contribute in that area, that's your ticket onto this roster.
Podcast is up and running over there at Fox 8, man. I like it. Good job with you guys over there at Fox 8 Overtime. How can folks get it, man?
Yeah, just iTunes, wherever you download your or subscribe to your normal a podcast. We're on episode number 20. We dropped that yesterday. John Bennett, my producer, and myself. We try to do one two or three times a week, so that's kind of our new thing we've been working on this off season. Yeah, definitely download it. Check it out. We got a great response. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the weekend, Sean.
All right, bud.
At Sean Fazan, Fox 8. Story to follow him over on Twitter. We'll take a quick break, and the rest of the way we can have a little fun and talk a little of all the different topics as well. Plus, also, when we come back, I'll go over the scoreboard. I did not forget, but regionals are underway. LSU. What now? You got more Val Kilmer?
Yes, I do. The name of the movie was Batman Forever by Tim Burton. Now you can remember when we introduced the Tommy Lee Jones, who was Two-Face.
That's right.
Jim Carrey, who
was the Riddler, yep.
And then also his sidekick, Dick Grayson, Chris O'Donnell as Robin.
At the end
of the movie, we were introduced to the woman that was going to become Poison Ivy. Remember her?
That's right.
And at the end, Batman left and he said this.
Hey, hey, hey!
No, he didn't. Stop it.
I'm sorry. I got him confused with Fat
That's
Albert.
Fat Albert. Stop it.
I got it confused, but like Superman. I don't know, Gus.
You know,
he wears glasses.
Hey.
And then he flies. Nobody recognizes him.
This makes it even more incredible.
It doesn't matter.
You just named like four villains in the movie, and it's still not rememberable.
No, it's the worst box office movie ever. I think you can go in with a voucher now.
That's
but
unbelievable.
It's like with every sport, you know, every superhero. If you take your glasses off and fly in your underwear, I still know it's Gus Gattengill, not Clark Kent. But I got one good one for you. Who would you put, movie star or sports person, as the next Batman? Ooh. Who would you actually put, Gus?
Me.
No, not
Jordan,
you.
Go.
No. No, not
no.
You.
They don't take tight ends.
I'll tell you what. I would look. I like the. What sports athlete do you think looks like a Batman?
You see, you can't use Drew Brees because of the birthmark. So either way, you can know it's him behind the mask.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah,
who would be?
Think of a sports
baseball
personnel.
Player, football
anyone,
player,
anyone,
basketball player. Who would be a good Batman?
Oh.
From the sports world. Let's take a quick break and we can think a little bit. The rest of the way, we're going to have some fun. 800-998-1003. We'll get some more from Saints OTAs here as well. Pels, I'm already counting. I'm going with 20 days. 20 days.
Let's make it 19.
It's not 19. You got to wait to June 20th.
It's tomorrow.
Zion Day. How exciting is that going to be that Thursday? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at USPS.com/future.
The Gong, an instrument used to start a sumo wrestling match. At My Computer Career, it celebrates the start of a student's new life as an IT professional and completion of a student journey focused on the result, getting you out of an unrewarding job and into an IT career in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science, you know. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available at Pep Boys.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Pretty remarkable for your lack of enthusiasm when it comes to college baseball, Jordan.
Me?
Shocked you haven't asked to try to be the regional scoreboard host, you know, you'd be updating us throughout the show, all the early games.
I've had bad experiences with college baseball.
I think that's where it comes from.
Such as?
Yeah. First, was that your first assignment for Tiger TV?
Correct.
First assignment.
Well, I would say second to third assignment, because we had a little bit of basketball going on.
What happened to you? What happened? Jordan, tell us.
So I was on the side. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've told the story.
I don't remember.
No. Come on. The listeners want to hear.
It was the first game. I think it was the first game covering a baseball story for me. And it was before the game even started. So right after when they do the
batting practice?
Yeah. So it was, okay. They were doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, Pledge of Allegiance.
And then after that, there was no more balls being thrown around.
You mean the national anthem?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, national anthem.
I don't know
why I said Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, there's kind of a slight difference.
I meant national anthem.
Okay, right.
National allegiance. Go ahead.
Pledge of Allegiance.
And there was just two outfielders. Mm-hmm. The only people throwing a ball in the whole stadium.
Right.
One overthrows it.
Well, the infield actually is probably doing it too. You just didn't pay attention.
No, I looked behind me and I didn't see anybody but two other people.
I'm pretty sure as the game's going on, right before you get on the field, the first baseman throws grounders to the infielders and then they throw it back to first.
And for a while, I thought it was the pitcher that threw it.
Okay, so anyway, yeah.
You know, ball comes flying in, nails me in the nose.
Broke your nose.
Broke it.
Do you realize the odds for that to happen?
About 100% that day.
I mean, for a ball
being
thrown between two people to be overthrown enough to actually hit you is good enough. But for it to break your nose.
I saved the camera, the Tiger TV camera that day. I saved a couple thousand dollars.
But how much it cost for the broken nose?
I was going to say, instead you took a broken nose.
Correct.
Oh,
I remember
Jordan.
You said to me
I went
the
immediately
picture.
To underneath the stadium.
Yeah.
Of Alex Box.
Yep.
And I had one of the paramedics check me out.
Yep.
And I proceeded to get my own Uber ride back to my apartment. I probably had a concussion. I probably shouldn't have been driving. And I drove yourself to the hospital.
To repair your broken nose.
So what you do when you
Did you get like season tickets out of this or anything? You got nothing.
Nothing.
Did you get an autograph?
I think I'm still kind of struggling paying it off.
That's incredible.
So you were injured
working, and you got nothing.
Nothing.
Not a jersey, not a ball cap.
No, I think it was
on the back from Paul Maneri. Nothing.
I think the first baseman came up to me. Hey, you all right?
Wow.
And I said, I took it like a champ, and I said, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
while I was slowly tearing up in my eyes.
How many fingers? Wednesday.
Wow.
Wow.
I turned to the guy that was trying to teach me how to like shoot the game and stuff, and he's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I think I have to go. I think I broke my nose." So I called our sports director up and said, "Hey, is it okay? I said, "If it's okay for me to leave the game,
wow,
I think I just broke my nose."
Yeah.
And How's the camera?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he said, "What? What do you mean, what?"
Were you upset when they covered?
And then at the end of the year, they had a little thing like a commemorative little slideshow of everybody in Tiger TV, and mine was
Broken nose.
Yeah, but they had a GIF.
That's incredible.
For everybody, and mine was the pass to LeBron, and he gets hit in the face.
Oh,
and that was my GIF.
That was your GIF?
Yes.
It's incredible. So you will be known forever in lore of Tiger TV as the kid that got his nose broken on his assignment.
No, but the sports manager actually told me, it's like the dedication that he had to stay there. Had to call me to see if he had to leave.
Right.
So yeah, I'm hard like that.
You know, most people sue people for that. Get a jersey, get a ball. You got nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, the following week, a little girl got hit at Alex Box with a baseball.
Right.
And the player went to the hospital.
Yeah.
And gave her the ball.
And for you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I had to buy my own Uber.
You had to Uber yourself.
Drive myself to the hospital.
It's pretty incredible.
Did you ever come over to loudspeaker when that happened about Jordan?
Yeah.
The announcer said this about him.
And there isn't even a plaque or a signpost or a statue of him in that town.
Wow.
Only my memory.
Only your memory.
That was Val Kilmer, by the way.
All right, let's do that. Stop it. Something happened. Did he like the Zion story with AD? Did he turn down an autograph request? Did you have an old Top Gun DVD or VHS tape you wanted autographed?
I went to Comic Con and it was a Top Gun beta tape.
Oh wow!
And he laughed at me and went, "You're a daisy if you do." And I walked away.
See, I'd have been impressed if you would have said Laserdisc. Remember when Laserdiscs were out for about a year? Laserdisc. Never turk off, by the way. Laserdisc. All right, time to give you a little scoreboard update as promised. Regional action is underway. The first games in and around the country started at noon, including in Baton Rouge. LSU takes on, of course, Stony Brook at 6 o'clock. Let's start out in Auburn. Taking on Coastal Carolina, 9-5. The Auburn Tigers lead there in the top of the seventh. Florida State leading Florida Atlantic 10-7, top of the eighth inning. In the bottom of the eighth, Campbell over NC State 5-4. That is a 3-seed. Florida State, by the way, 3-seed over the 2-seed. Auburn's a 2-seed over the 3-seed. Southern Miss, there we go, my Golden Eagles just took the lead. 2-1 in the top of the fifth, a 3-seed. Arizona State, their opponent, a 2-seed. It was 0-0, 1-1 in the fourth, and now Southern Miss has added a run to lead 2-1.
Sure going to lose now.
Why?
Because you just mentioned them.
Well, they're doing well. They're doing well. Remember, LSU, McNeese, and Southern, the other two schools in the state other than the Tigers. McNeese was tied 4-4. Bottom of the fifth right now, Indiana State just went up 6-4 on the McNeese State Cowboys, a 3-seed. Southern doing well. They're the fourth seed in Stark, Vegas. Jordan, the score. Mississippi State 2, Southern 4 in the top of the fifth inning with the Jags batting right now. So, Jaguars, we spoke with Kendrick Jackson yesterday, the head coach. That'd be a very, very big one if they can hold on. Still plenty of baseball to be played, though. But they are up 4-2 in Stark, Vegas right now. Bottom of the fifth, the 3-seed Nebraska on top of Joey. Unfortunately, your 2-seed UConn Huskies.
Yeah, because Val Kilmer went to Nebraska.
Wow, 6-4. Arkansas, the 1-seed there. Bottom of the third, leading Central Connecticut State 2-0. Tied up, Illinois State and Indiana 2-2, a 3-2 matchup there. Another 4-1 matchup. North Carolina, the 1-seed, leading 1-0 over UNC Wilmington. And that is in the bottom of the second. And those are all of the games that are in action as of now. Everything else is later tonight, including, as I said, LSU Stony Brook. Don't forget ESPNU is where you can catch that, ESPNU. But the other two schools from the state, Southern up 4-2 in the top of the fifth, of McNeese now trailing 6-4. So we'll keep you posted on that. And, of course, the Baton Rouge Regional, Southern Miss leading 2-1 in the top of the fifth. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of the stuff in the NBA. We'll talk some more Saints. All open to you guys. If you want to chime in, 800-998-1003. And also the fun question of the day. Thanks to Raphael, who let us know the dude from Twilight, the next Batman. The dude from Twilight, the next Batman. Robert Pattinson. Jordan, you watched the Twilight. You so did.
No, I didn't.
You were such a Twilight dude. There's no doubt. You probably cried.
Yep.
Yep. Twilight, like part 6 or whatever it was. Little vampire love story. You so watched it.
I loved it.
I know you did.
It was an amazing movie.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
When you're a pro, your reputation is built and proven over time. That's why the Home Depot carries Loctite PL Premium Max Adhesive, the strongest on the market. Durable, gets the job done right, and holds up over time. Right now, get 12 or more for the bulk price of only $7.97 each. Loctite PL Premium Max. More strength, durability, and job done right for less. At the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Minimum purchase required, U.S. only.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
As we watch the suburban garden gnome carefully without disturbing it, we notice that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
The Dan Le Batard Show podcast.
This is what I want to ask you guys, though. Please help me on this. We want a fire in the belly, but not in the eyes, or do we want a fire in the eyes as well? We want fire in the eyes, fire in the belly, but no chip on the shoulder?
No chip on the shoulder.
But fire in the eyes sounds awful. No. Fire in the eyes would seem to be a character risk if Lamar Jackson had it.
But wait, I love a good chip on the shoulder.
Do you want more from the Dan Le Batard Show? Download the podcast right now on iTunes or on the ESPN app.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the sports hangover with Gus Kattengill.
A little unknown fact again about Val Kilmer. Mm-hmm. He almost ran for governor of New Mexico but declined. After a poll was taken, he only got 1%.
You know what? Here's the thing. You're making fun of the 1%. I've always said if like, I run for Senate and I get 1%.
I never make fun of the 1%.
Well, I'm not going to look bad. Yeah, thank you. But, you know, my thing is I would still then get 1% of the people that actually would believe that I could be a senator.
You could.
You know what I'm saying? I think I could get 1% of the vote. I honestly do. Jordan, would you vote for me?
It depends.
It depends, really.
How much are you paying me to vote? How much are you paying me to vote for?
Pretty remarkable. So now I have to pay you to vote for me.
Collusion.
That's unbelievable. Thanks for letting me know that apparently I have my work cut out.
You don't have to pay me.
The citizens of Louisiana. Thank you. At least I got one vote from Joe.
Right away.
There you go. One vote right away.
No, you don't have to pay me right away. You can do it in installments.
Well, at least I get what, like 5, right? Me, my wife.
Okay.
That's 2. You, 3. My parents, 4 and 5. Maybe her parents, 5 and 6.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe.
How about Carver?
Not old enough yet.
But let's say he could vote. Undecided?
You really wouldn't vote for me?
If you paid me.
That's unbelievable. All right, so I've not yet to get the 10.
I'm keeping you under 10.
Wow. That's really good. 800-998-1003. We can talk, of course, game one of the NBA Finals. Did you like seeing somebody other than Golden State win? We can touch on that. Can touch on Pels, the AD meeting, if you had anything to add to the meeting that we had earlier in the week. Again, Friday, we kind of recap all the different stories. A lot of OTA observations we'll get into here as well, plus some sound, which you put Apple and Malcolm Brown. Is that who that is?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks for telling
me. And Marcus Williams.
Wow. Thank you. All right. We'll do that top of the hour. Also, Rafael Esparza let us know that Robert Pattinson, the lead role, male figure, the love interest in the Twilight Saga series. He is the new Batman, apparently, per Warner Brothers. So it just got us asking, who's the best? Who's the worst Batman in the movies to you? Kendall on Twitter says Adam West. There you go, Joey. Adam West was the best Batman. George Clooney, the worst. Lyndon says, at Real Kevin Conroy is the best and the worst is Clooney, but not because of him. I guess he says the movie, perhaps. Kevin Conroy, the best. Clooney, the worst. Okay. Bokaj let us know that, yes, indeed, the Val Kilmer one was the one that had as many, like, villains as possible that you can think of, right? You had Two-Face, Jim Carrey as the Riddler was in there. You had Robin. That's crazy. I didn't even remember that was the one that had Robin. He says, best Batman is Kevin Conroy, worst is Bale. Really? You really think Christian Bale was the worst? I liked it. I think those are the best three sets of movies. Would you say? Notice no one is throwing in your guy. From Boston. Let's see. Kilmer. The Bima says, was in Batman Forever the second best Batman soundtrack. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm a huge U2 guy.
Of course you would pay attention to the soundtrack. You are that guy.
Yes, what is wrong with that? What you can't like the soundtrack?
You're just that guy.
What guy?
I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. You're just
inferring that there's something wrong to liking soundtracks to movies.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of a
big thing to attachment. Part of what makes a movie fun and enjoyable is the music inside of the movie. Pretty much how most of the memorable Disney movies came about because of the songs.
Absolutely. Don't bring Disney into
this. Absolutely.
Disney's a whole nother.
E.T., the movie that you can't stand.
Yeah.
The song, the music is what helped make E.T. Wow. Yeah. Is this it? No, this is the first Batman, huh?
No, that's from Batman Forever.
This is from Batman Forever?
With Val Kilmer, the soundtrack. Seal.
See, no, I like
Trying to put me to sleep?
Hold Me, Kill Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. That's the U2 song. I like
that.
That's a good one. Prince, I think, did the first Batman movie, right? With Keaton?
Yep.
Didn't he do like the entire soundtrack?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Purple Batman.
Yeah. I can't believe you think that. So John Williams is trash to you, huh? John Williams? Do you even know who that is? You should. You shook your head no. You're
Jaws? Star Wars?
Yeah. Go look. Just type in John Williams and prepare to be awed by how many soundtracks and themes that he has come up with. Go ahead. Yeah, I can see it in your face right now. It's ridiculous. I mean, basically, and pretty much, Joey, any movie that is known, that is like a legendary movie, that's one. That's another one.
I see this first. Is John Williams a thief?
What?
So he's stealing musical?
Okay, that is no.
Musical
no,
talent?
John Williams is not a thief. What are you talking about? What Google are you on? The dark web, huh? There you are on the dark web. Yeah. Do you know who this
Superman.
Is? Do you know who this is, Jordan? Whoa. Name the movie.
Superman.
Yeah, John Williams. You don't know who that is. What's wrong with you? You know who this movie is?
Indiana Jones.
Yes, John Williams. It's ridiculous. I mean, seriously, the guy's created like memorable 3 seconds of life.
And Jordan calls him a thief.
All of those movies, you know, within 3 to 5 seconds what it is, right? Dun, 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 you know, boom, done. You know, dun, 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 done. Dun, 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 done. You know exactly what they are. Yep, they're done. Like 5 seconds. Just think of that. In 5 seconds, I can tell you, you know exactly what it is. It's pretty remarkable.
Wow.
Wow.
My mind is blown.
You know what? I am really fearful for our country. You're our youth right here. You're our future right here. That doesn't impress you at all, does it? But if I would have talked about how Drake has something, which you can't tell any of his songs any different, right? If we talked about Drake, you'd be, wow, Drake.
Drake's a musical artist.
Oh, here we go. Musical artist? Yeah, that's what they're called. They're called artists.
He's Beethoven. He's the Beethoven.
He's today's Beethoven?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, thank you. Today's Beethoven, huh? Goodness gracious. I'm really fearful for you. Yeah. Is there like a culture class at Southeastern? Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
I am the culture.